Okay, let's dive in. Imagine you've got a slice of lemon.
Right.
Bright yellow, super sour.
Classic acid taste.
Then maybe a drop of, say, hand soap, slippery, and definitely bitter if you tasted it, which don't.
Definitely don't.
And then just pure water. No taste, nothing. Neutral.
Right.
But what if these things could kinda tell us their secrets? Like reveal if they're acidic, basic, or neutral just by changing color with a special liquid.
That's a great way to think about it. And yeah, they absolutely can. Welcome, everyone, to the deep dive.
Today, we're really taking a shortcut, trying to get a handle on this fundamental chemistry concept that's just,
Well, it's everywhere.
it really is. Our mission today is basically to unpack what acidic, basic, and neutral substances are. How do we spot them? And crucially, why does knowing this stuff matter?
Yeah, not just for chemists, right?
Oh, definitely not.
Ah.
It matters for cooking, cleaning, even understanding how your own body works.
Right. So knowing this really does unlock some everyday secrets, maybe helps avoid some mistakes, and explains that balance inside us. Exactly. So let's set the stage with these big three. Pretty much every substance can be sorted into one of these camps: acidic, basic, sometimes called alkaline or neutral.
And we figure this out based on things like how they feel, how they taste. But we'll get to why tasting is a bad idea
A
soon.
very bad idea in the lab, yes.
And critically, how they react with these special things called indicators. And then there's the pH scale too, that number scale.
Precisely. Let's start with acids, the tangy ones, but also sometimes the dangerous ones.
Tangy like lemons, vinegar, right? That sour taste.
Exactly. That sourness is characteristic. Think lemon juice, vinegar, tamarind, grapes, even curd or amla. These all contain natural acids.
And this is the big safety point you mentioned. Tasting isn't the way to go in a lab setting.
Absolutely not. Never. Because many strong acids, think hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, nitric acid, they're incredibly corrosive,
Corrosive meaning.
meaning they can literally damage or destroy other substances. They can eat through metal, cause severe skin burns, ruin fabrics, even etch stone.
Wow. Okay. So protective gear is a must.
Gloves, goggles, absolutely essential when dealing with unknown chemicals. We have much safer ways, these color-changing indicators, to tell if something's an acid.
Right, the chemical detectives. So like litmus paper. Blue litmus paper turns red in acid.
That's the classic one, yes. Blue turns red.
Huh.
Now, what about turmeric, that yellow spice from the kitchen?
Does it change?
Surprisingly, no. Turmeric stays bright yellow in acids. No reaction there.
Okay. And China rose extract, like hibiscus.
Ah, that one turns a really deep pink or magenta color in acid, quite vibrant.
And you mentioned synthetic ones too,
Yeah.
methyl orange and phenolphthalein.
Right. Methyl orange turns red in acid while phenolphthalein stays completely colorless. Each indicator has its own specific signal for acids.
And we find acids all over, not just in labs.
Oh, everywhere. Citric acid in lemons, acetic acid in vinegar, lactic acid in yogurt or curd, tartaric acid in grapes and tamarind, ascorbic acid, that's vitamin C in amla,
Even ant stings.
formic acid, yep, and oxalic acid in spinach and tomatoes. And as you mentioned before, the hydrochloric acid in our own stomachs doing its job with digestion.
It's kind of amazing our stomachs handle that.
Yeah.
So, okay, acids are sour, potentially corrosive, turn blue, litmus red. What about their opposites, the bases?
Good transition. Bases or alkalis. These are known for a bitter taste and a very distinctive, slippery, almost soapy feel.
Like wet baking soda or actual soap?
Exactly like that. But again, the safety warning applies. Just like strong acids, strong bases are also very corrosive.
Things like drain cleaner.
Yes, drain cleaners often contain sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide. You absolutely do not want to taste those or get them on your skin. Serious burns can happen.
Understood. Safety first.
Yeah.
So how do these slippery, bitter substances react with our color detectives?
They give us a completely different set of colors. Red litmus paper turns blue in a base.
The opposite of acids. Makes sense.
And turmeric, which stayed yellow in acid.
What does it do now?
It turns a really interesting reddish-brown color in a base.
Wow. Okay. And the China rose.
That turns green in basic solutions. A definite shift from the pink it shows in acid.
Green. Okay. And the synthetic ones. Phenolphthalein.
That one turns a bright, vibrant pink in bases. And methyl orange turns yellow. So completely different signals again.
It's like they have their own color language
Yeah.
for acid or base. So besides soap and drain cleaner, where else do we find bases?
Lots of places. Calcium hydroxide is used in whitewashing walls. Magnesium hydroxide, that's the main ingredient in milk of magnesia, the antacid.
Ah, right.
Ammonium hydroxide is common in window cleaners. And baking soda, sodium bicarbonate, that's a base too, used in baking as an antacid, even in some fire extinguishers.
Baking soda is pretty versatile.
It is. And a really key thing about bases is how they react with acids. They neutralize each other. We'll talk more about that neutralization reaction soon.
Perfect. Which leads us nicely to the third group, the ones that aren't acidic or basic. The neutral substances.
The quiet ones, the balancers. Neutral substances, as the name suggests, are neither acidic nor basic.
So they don't really react with the indicators.
Exactly. They generally don't change the color of any of the indicators we've talked about. Litmus paper, red or blue, stays the same color.
Turmeric stays yellow.
Stays yellow. China rose extract doesn't change much. Phenolphthalein stays colorless. Methyl orange stays orange or yellow. No color drama.
And they're generally safe to handle or taste.
Generally, yes, like pure water or sugar solution. But always exercise caution with any substance. Neutral doesn't automatically mean completely harmless in every single context.
Good point. And on that pH scale we mentioned, where do they sit?
Right in the middle. Neutral substances have a pH of exactly 7. Pure distilled water is the classic example. Sugar dissolved in water, common salt dissolved in water. Those solutions are typically neutral too.
And even though they seem maybe less reactive in this way, they're still important.
Hugely important. Think about water essential for all known life. Dissolves so many things. It's called the universal solvent. And many chemical processes in labs or in nature need a neutral environment to work properly.
Okay, so before we move on, maybe we should tackle some common mistakes or misunderstandings.
Good idea. One big one is thinking all sour things are safe to eat.
Right, because lemons are sour and safe, but lab acids aren't.
Exactly. Many fruits have weak edible acids, but strong acids are dangerous. Sourness alone isn't a safety guarantee. So rule number one, never taste unknown substances.
Got it. Any other common traps?
Yeah, the idea that neutral substances have no chemical reactivity at all, that's not true.
How so?
Well, they don't act as acids or bases, but they can definitely take part in other kinds of chemical reactions. Sugar, for instance, is neutral, but you can burn it, right? That's a combustion reaction.
Oh, okay. So neutral just refers to its acid-base property.
Precisely. Now, should we look a bit closer at those indicators, our color-changing detectives?
Yes. We know what they do, but how do they actually work? What are they?
Okay, so indicators are basically special substances, special molecules.
And they change color.
They change color when they encounter an acid or a base. It's like a chemical signal.
But how? What's happening inside the molecule to change the color we see? Is it like magic?
Not magic, just really cool chemistry. On a molecular level, when an indicator molecule meets an acid or a base, its actual structure changes slightly.
A physical change.
A change in its chemical structure, how the atoms are arranged. And this tiny change affects how the molecule absorbs and reflects light.
Ah, so it absorbs different colors, meaning we see the leftover colors differently.
Exactly. That structural shift changes its light interaction, and boom, we perceive a different color. It's a molecular dance resulting in a visual cue.
That's pretty neat. And we talked about different types, natural, synthetic.
Right. Natural indicators come from plants, flowers like hibiscus, roots like turmeric, even lichens for litmus. Synthetic ones are man-made in labs like phenolphthalein and methyl orange.
We're focusing mainly on the natural ones today, right?
Yes. They're often easier to access and demonstrate these principles really well. There are also olfactory indicators, by the way.
Olfactory, meaning smell.
Yeah. Things like onion or vanilla extract actually change their smell in acidic or basic conditions, but visual ones are usually easier to work with for simple tests.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, let's spotlight the natural ones. Litmus first. The classic.
The absolute classic. Comes from lichens, which are themselves fascinating, a partnership between fungi and algae or cyanobacteria.
Wow. And it comes as paper mostly.
Usually as paper strips, yeah. Red litmus paper and blue litmus paper. It's just filter paper soaked in litmus solution and dried. More convenient than liquid.
And the action is simple. Acids turn blue, litmus red.
Mm-hmm.
Bases turn red, litmus blue.
Right.
And neutral substances don't change either color.
Simple, clear, effective. A great starting point.
Okay, next up. Turmeric, the kitchen spice indicator.
Yes. Easily made into a paste, applied to paper. We know it stays yellow in acids and neutral solutions.
But the magic happens with bases.
That's where it gets interesting. In basic solutions, turmeric turns from yellow to a distinct reddish brown.
Reddish brown. That explains the curry stain secret.
Exactly. You spill yellow curry, which has turmeric, on a white shirt. You wash it with soap.
Soap is basic.
Right. And the yellow stain turns reddish brown right where the soap hits it. That's the turmeric acting as an indicator.
That's brilliant. And if you rinse it really well,
with lots of water, you dilute the base and the stain might fade back towards yellow.
Yeah.
Chemistry in the laundry basket.
My mind is blown. Okay, so litmus turmeric.
Mm.
What's our third natural star?
Let's talk about red rose, or more commonly a China rose, which is a type of hibiscus. You can make an extract pretty easily.
Just steeping petals in warm water.
Yep. Collect the petals, wash them, steep them. The colored liquid you get contains pigments called anthocyanins, and these are fantastic indicators.
So what's the color code for hibiscus tea, I mean, extract?
Yeah. In acidic solutions, it turns a bright magenta or deep pink. Really lovely color.
Okay. And in basic solutions?
It shifts to green. Sometimes a kind of yellowish green, but definitely green.
Wow, pink to green. That's a big change. And neutral.
No significant change. Stays pretty much its original light pink or reddish color.
Yeah, didn't you mention something about flowers in the garden acting like this?
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. Hydrangeas are famous for it. The flowers can be blue if the soil is acidic, or pink red if the soil is basic or alkaline.
So the plant is telling you the soil's pH.
Exactly. Gardeners even adjust the soil acidity to get the flower color they want. Red cabbage juice is another amazing natural indicator. It gives you a whole rainbow of colors across different pH levels.
Nature's chemistry kit. So these indicators are fantastic for safely figuring out if something is acidic or basic. But what happens when acid meets base? You mentioned neutralization.
Right, neutralization. It's not usually some dramatic explosion. It's more of a balancing act.
Balancing.
Yeah. When an acid and a base react, they essentially cancel out each other's characteristic properties. The resulting solution is usually much closer to neutral.
And what does this reaction produce?
It produces two main things, a salt and water. And importantly, it also releases heat. It's an exothermic reaction. It warms things up.
So the general formula is acid plus base gives you salt plus water plus heat.
That's the one. A classic example is hydrochloric acid reacting with sodium hydroxide.
Strong acid, strong base.
They react to form sodium chloride, which is just regular table salt plus water, and quite a bit of heat is released.
Now, you said a salt. Does that always mean table salt?
Great question. No. In chemistry, salt is a much broader term. It refers to any ionic compound formed from the positive part of a base and the negative part of an acid reacting together.
So table salt, sodium chloride, is just one example of thousands of different chemical salts.
Exactly. It's the most famous one. But chemically speaking, there are many, many salts.
Okay, that clears it up. And this neutralization idea, this canceling out, it happens all around us, right, in everyday life?
Absolutely. Tons of applications. Let's start with indigestion relief.
Ah, stomach acid acting up.
Right. Your stomach uses strong hydrochloric acid for digestion. Sometimes it produces too much, leading to heartburn or indigestion.
So you take an antacid.
Which is a mild base. Things like milk of magnesia, magnesium hydroxide, or even baking soda, sodium bicarbonate. They work by neutralizing that excess stomach acid.
Giving you relief. And sometimes they fizz.
Yeah. Some antacids contain carbonates, which react with the acid to release carbon dioxide gas. That's the fizzing and why you might burp. It's part of the neutralization process.
Okay, what about insect stings? You mentioned something about bees versus wasps earlier.
Oh, this is fascinating. Bee stings inject venom that is primarily acidic.
Acidic, okay.
So to soothe a bee sting, applying a mild base like a paste of baking soda can help neutralize the acid and reduce the pain.
Makes sense. Baking soda is a base. So what about wasps?
Wasp stings are different. Their venom is alkaline or basic.
The opposite.
Exactly. So for a wasp sting, applying a mild acid like vinegar or lemon juice can help neutralize the alkaline venom and provide relief.
Wow. So you actually need to know what stung you to treat it effectively.
Ideally, yes. It shows how understanding this acid-base chemistry can be practically useful. And just as a quick aside, things like your tears are slightly basic, while milk is slightly acidic. pH balance is everywhere in biology.
That's really good to know. Okay, moving beyond stings, agriculture. How does neutralization help farmers?
Well, soil can become too acidic over time, maybe from certain fertilizers or acid rain.
And that's bad for crops.
Yeah, if the soil is too acidic, plants struggle to absorb the nutrients they need so they don't grow well.
So farmers add.
They add basic substances to the soil, things like lime, which can be quicklime or slicked lime or crushed limestone. These bases neutralize the excess acidity,
bringing the soil pH back to a better level for plants.
Exactly. They aim for a pH usually between 6 and 7.5, which is optimal for most crops. It's all about balancing the soil chemistry for a good harvest.
And this balancing act applies to our teeth too, doesn't it? Dental care.
It certainly does. Bacteria in our mouths feed on sugary foods left behind after we eat.
And they produce acid?
They produce lactic acid as a waste product. And that acid attacks the enamel, the hard outer layer of our teeth.
Leading to cavities.
Precisely. That's tooth decay. But toothpaste contains mild bases.
Like baking soda again. Or other things.
Things like calcium carbonate, magnesium hydroxide, sometimes sodium bicarbonate. These bases neutralize the acids produced by the bacteria,
protecting your enamel.
Which is why brushing regularly, especially after eating sugary things, is so important. It's a daily neutralization routine for your mouth.
A tiny chemistry experiment twice a day. Okay, one more big application.
Yeah.
Wastewater treatment.
Yes, this is critical for environmental protection. Factories sometimes discharge wastewater that is either very acidic or very basic.
And that would be harmful if it just went into rivers.
Extremely harmful. It can kill fish and other aquatic life, pollute drinking water sources, and even damage pipes. So the water has to be treated first.
Through neutralization.
Exactly. They test the pH of the wastewater. If it's too acidic, they add a base, like slaked lime. If it's too basic, they add an acid, maybe sulfuric acid.
To get it close to neutral.
The goal is to bring the pH close to 7, making it safe to release back into the environment. It's a vital step in preventing industrial pollution.
So, wow, we've gone from tasting a lemon, metaphorically speaking.
Metaphorically.
To understanding acids, bases, neutral substances, how these cool indicators show us their nature with color, and how this whole neutralization thing is working behind the scenes everywhere, from our stomachs to farm fields to keeping rivers clean.
It really ties together. This deep dive hopefully gives you that shortcut to understanding this core chemistry concept, but also shows you just how relevant it is, packed with these, you know, surprising connections to your daily life.
Yeah, seeing the hidden chemistry all around us.
Exactly.
So a final thought for everyone listening. What everyday thing will you look at differently now? Knowing its hidden acidic, basic, or neutral nature might be shaping things in ways you hadn't thought about.
And maybe ponder just how vital that delicate pH balance is. Not just in a beaker, but in life itself. Think about your own blood. It stays incredibly stable, right around pH 7.4. That precise balance is essential for keeping you alive and healthy.
A balance we totally take for granted, but it really underpins everything.
It really does.